Bibles to Joshua chapter 3. We're in our fifth part of our sermon series on the Joshua generation, and today we're going to talk about crossing the Jordan River and some transforming encounters that God has for his people at Gilgal. And what we want to do is we want to remember that the Lord has spoken to us about our future, just like he spoke to this generation of people about their future, about their promised land. God has spoken to us about our promised land, and he wants to guide us and lead us. Also want to say thank you to everyone who volunteered and helped and served yesterday at ministry team training. Very significant, the calling on our church's life to invest in the lives of others and people and community. We had 56 people here. We had people representing 16 different churches and 11 different denominations. And so we continue to sow and give away and numbers of encounters with the Lord, and we're just grateful for what the Lord's doing. And Father, we do thank you for the call on our church. We thank you for the assignment that you've given us to raise up a generation of men, women, boys, and girls that know you, that follow you, that partner with you in doing the works of the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you for every seed that you planted yesterday. We thank you for every work that you started of healing and freedom and grace, and we just protect that seed, we bless that seed, and we pray that it bear a lot of fruit to your glory and to your name. Father, we lift up Pastor Steve today. Thank you for the opportunity that he's had this week to write and to seek you and to capture on pen and paper what it is you've deposited richly in him. We pray, oh God, you'll give him safety and grace as he travels back to us this week, first part of the week. And Lord, we're looking forward to being able to share with others, Lord, all that you've deposited in him. We're looking forward to the books and the writing and the teachings that are coming forth. And so, Lord, we know that's a part of our calling here at Calvary. Calvary needs to step into what we're doing. We want Pastor Steve to step into what you've called him to do. And we believe, Lord, for great things through that. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Crossing the Jordan River. The Jordan River represented a huge obstacle. It was at flood stage, and it was a mess. And just like the Red Sea was insurmountable, now in Joshua's day, 40 years later, they've come to this river to cross it. And God has a word to speak to his people. Look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. We'll read to verse 5. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim, and they went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, who are the Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you'll know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Don't go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And I believe that the Lord has been speaking to us as a church. We had our month of prayer and fasting, and that month of prayer and fasting was a part of this season of consecration, of us getting ready to cross into what God wants us to do. The Lord was telling his people, prepare now to cooperate with me. You've never been this way before. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to lead you. But you have some things that you need to do. There's some sins that need to be repented of. There's some consecration, which means setting ourselves apart to God in a new and vibrant living way. So God gave the people that charge. And I believe the Lord is saying the same thing to us today. The Lord wants us to prepare now to cooperate with him. He wants us to have a yes in our spirit to whatever he wants to say and do in our lives over the coming years together. Some of us have been stuck and stopped. Some of us have been cynical and resigned. Some of us have been in the habit of being distracted or just putting off saying yes to what God's doing. And I just believe that God wants us to change the way things are. So he's inviting us to get help from prayer from one another. One of the best things you can do when you're stuck, when you're stopped, when you're struggling with a yes in your spirit is to get help from others. Ask him to pray for you. Let's walk in the light with others. Let's share with them where we are. This is my current reality, but this is where I want to be. And ask them to pray for you and fill that space with prayer. Let's get coaching from one another. Let's get encouragement from each other. Let's respond to the Lord now so that we can get in on what he wants to do. I think that's the message of Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Then verses 6 through 17, we're to let the presence of the Lord lead us and then we're to follow the Lord. So there he explains several times. He says, the ark's going to go in front of you. The priests are going to carry it. The Lord's presence is going to lead you. And he says that over and over again. And so whatever the Lord tells us to do, he comes with grace. He comes with enablement. He comes with provision that his word might be fulfilled in our lives. There was a word that was given there. The word was given to Moses. And you read in verses 6 through 17 several times that they said they did everything according to what Moses had said. Joshua told them what to do based on what Moses had said. I believe it was two or three times in that passage he says that. And we know from Scripture, especially from Mary's encounter with the angel, that no word of God is without power. No obstacle is beyond the capacity, the wisdom of God. We sang about that this morning, about the Lord kicking down every wall, about the Lord tearing down every lie. God says, I want the ark to go in front of you. And they did everything actually according to what God had already told them, already prophesied, already spoken and declared through his instruction, through his servant Moses. And the waters, it's interesting in that passage, says that they stood still at Adam. And that city is about 16 miles from where they were crossing over the Jordan River. And miracles are where man's ability stops and God's ability shines. Miracles are where man's ability stops and God's ability shines. And here we have a natural thing that says, look at what God does. So God moves. They step into the water and the water It builds up a wall all the way 16 miles away. And then in Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, we read about the fact that every generation needs an encounter with the Lord. Each generation needs to encounter the Lord and see what he's doing and to experience it. Will you look with me there in Joshua chapter 4? It says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, each one from his own tribe, each one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and carry them over, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men that he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said, go over before the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. And in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them, the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of God. And tell them, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial forever to the people of Israel. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of their tribe, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over to their camp and they put them down. And then it says that they set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who had carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. So we have a testimony of what God is doing in the land. We have a testimony of what the Lord wants us to do. And I believe that God says it's important for us to learn how to share with the generations what the Lord has done, what he's done in our lifetime. But we also want to challenge them. They don't need just stories about what God has done. They also need to encounter his goodness and to get their own experiences. So here, 40 years before, God has moved and he's helped them to cross the Red Sea. He led them across. He defeated the Egyptians. And now in their day, God gave them an experience of crossing the Jordan, and they were to set up memorial stones. They were to set up a season of being able to testify and say, this is what God did in my generation. And they share that with people. It's very interesting that the experience that they had was similar, but different from the crossing of the Red Sea. And the stories of what the Lord has done are good, but they should cause us to yearn and cause us to long for our own experiences and encounters with the Lord. Psalm 44, verses 1 to 8, talks about, Lord, we have heard about your name and your fame. We've heard about what you've done in our fathers' lives. And there's a testimony and recounts the testimony. That's what we need to do. But then it goes on to say, and we need you for our generation. Here's what we've been seeing you do. And so we need to be a people who pay attention to what the Lord is doing, who are able to articulate it and testify and share. Anna did that today. She shared, this is what the Lord is doing in our generation. There's something going on among refugees. Would you partner with me? Let's partner together. We need that testimony about what the Lord is doing. And I think that we should reflect upon and remember what God is doing, especially by giving thanks to the Lord. So look at Joshua chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse 20 to 24. Joshua chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. Says that Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones that they'd taken out of the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord our God is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. And so we give testimony and we tell about what the Lord is doing. It's really important that we reflect upon what he's doing, that we remember what he's doing, and also to give thanks for what he is doing. Turn to Psalm chapter 50, verse 22 and 23. Psalm chapter 50. Here we have God showing us in Joshua's day, it's really important to pay attention to what I'm doing, to share this with the generations. They put down memorial stones, that is, they took it seriously. And then here in actually Psalm chapter 50, the 50th psalm is a judgment psalm against the people of God. And we find out why it's a judgment psalm. Down in verse 22, it says, consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me and prepares the way so that I might show him the salvation of our God. How did the people forget God? How did the people dishonor God? How did the people actually reject what God was doing in their life? They failed to express thanksgiving and gratitude for what they saw him do in their lives. They failed to see that. And so God's looking at us as a people. He says, we as a people need to be a people who not only pay attention to what he's doing, but we articulate what he's doing and we say thanks for what you're doing. And we're actually going to do that in a little bit in our service. We're going to talk about some of the things that God has said that he wants to do, and we're going to thank him for it. Then we're going to stand in the gap and ask him to do that. But he's looking for a people to be grateful. And when we're grateful, when we sacrifice thank offerings, it does two things. It honors the Lord, and it prepares the way for the Lord to do more in our lives. So think about that. Ingratitude cuts off what the Lord wants to do. It brings judgment. And it separates us from the blessing of God. But when we give thanks and we articulate, when we identify what he's doing, that honors him and it opens the door for him to do more. And we want God to do more in our lives. Amen? We want that door open for him to move. So that's Joshua. That's a quick overview of Joshua chapter 3 and 4. Now we're at Joshua chapter 5. We want to talk about three transforming encounters that happen here. There were three transforming experiences for the Lord's people once they crossed the Jordan River and entered into the promises of the Lord. Number one, in Joshua verses chapter 5, verses 1 to 9, the Lord rolled away the reproach of the past from the lives of his children. And you're reading there in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1 and 9 about their circumcision. You see, when they came up out of Egypt, they wandered in the desert for 40 years, and they didn't fulfill this covenant obligation with the Lord that he had given to them. Circumcision was a sign of covenant relationship with God, and scriptures teaches us that the Lord is active in our lives, cutting away the old, sanctifying his people and challenging us and inviting us and helping us to put on the new would be the way the New Testament talks about that. And when we get in on what God is doing, the testimony, like it was for them, is that he will heal us in the journey. So many times we want God to fix us. We want God to touch us. We want God to anoint us. And we want it all up front. It's like we want God to get everything in place before we'll journey with him. But here, they've actually journeyed with him for 40 years. Then they cross over the Jordan, and now they're in Gilgal. And in this process, and it's actually in this journey, God comes to bring wholeness and to help them. Once we cross over into the purposes of the Lord, then the Lord removes sin from our hearts, takes the world out of us, and heals us. In other words, he does that in process. And that New Testament calls this process sanctification. Most of us want God to fix us first, and then we'll step out and obey. But that's not the way the kingdom of God works. Aren't you glad you brought your Bible today? John chapter 7, verse 17. Would you look there with me? John chapter 7, verse 17. By the way, the notes are on the website. For those of you that can't keep up today, I'm going pretty fast today to cover some things and to get to where I want to get in prayer. The notes are there under messages on our website. John 7, 17. This is the Lord Jesus. People are astounded at what he's teaching and saying and said, where'd this guy get his stuff? How do we know it's reliable? If anyone chooses to do God's will, Jesus said, he'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. See, so many of us, our minds are like judge and jury. We look at things, we evaluate it. Do I agree? Do I disagree? Is this for me? Is this not for me? And that's what the people were doing in Jesus' day. They were hearing what he was saying, but they weren't getting an action around it. They weren't obeying. They weren't responding. And Jesus said, you'll not know if what I'm saying is of God unless you step out and obey it. In other words, you have to try it on. It's a new way of listening. So many times we listen with right, wrong, I agree, disagree. And God's saying something differently to us. He's saying, try this on and then you'll find out if it's right. How did they know that God would heal them, change them, and fix them in the journey? They had to cross the Jordan with the Lord. They had to follow him where he was going. And that's the way the Lord did it. He did it with the disciples. As they followed him, then he transformed them into disciples. These followers became disciples who then turned the world upside down. But he did that through their journey with him. I know a lot of us, we get bored in our Christianity. And we've had some experiences way back in the past and we keep talking about them. But I want you to know, I'm involved in a lifelong journey of transformation with the Lord. The Lord's still changing me. The Lord's not finished with me. Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says, man, I forget everything that's behind me because I'm pressing on to know him. He says, I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know the power of his resurrection. He says, I want to be conformed to the image of his death. He says, there's so much more in the Lord. He says, everything else that I've experienced, good and bad, is nothing to compare with what the Lord's currently doing and where he's taking me. In Calvary, we've got a great heritage. We've got a great history in the Lord, but the best is yet to be. And he's looking for us to say, I'm with you, Lord, and I'm going to journey with you and trust you to change me and transform me in the journey. And so they have that experience. One of their transforming encounters at Gilgal was circumcision. He was cutting away the old and putting on the new. A second encounter was they celebrated the Passover again as a sign of his deliverance and his salvation and provision. The Passover was celebrated as a part of Israel's deliverance from judgment that befell the Egyptians. Prior to them leaving Egypt, they took their first Passover meal, and that took place on the 10th day of the first month. And here in Joshua chapter 4, verse 19, it says that the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. And there's a parallel. Before they launched out in their transformation journey and had their first experience with God, they did the Passover. They recognized that as a sign that he was going to deliver them. He was going to save them. That was his provision. And then here now, they've crossed over the Jordan. And there's a parallel, and God is saying, I'm still your deliverance. I'm still your salvation. I am still your provision. It ties the two together. It's like a second exodus, as it were. And the scripture teaches us that Jesus is our Passover lamb. In Jesus, God delivers us from judgment. He covers and cleanses us with the blood of the lamb. He provides life abundantly, eternally, the way that we were meant to live as fully human and fully alive. In the Lord's Supper, we celebrate our Savior. Jesus delivers us from sin and judgment. He saves us for the purposes of the Lord, and he provides for us both now and for eternity as we prophesy through communion, through the Lord's Supper, that Jesus is Lord and he's coming again. And so the Lord's Supper, the Passover here for them, the Lord's Supper for us, is a testimony of deliverance, of salvation and provision. As it was in Moses' day, as it was in Joshua's day, so it is for us today. And then when they crossed over into the purposes of the Lord, something happened. It's in your scripture, verse 11 and 12. It says, the day after the Passover, that very day that they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped that day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate of the produce of Canaan. So when they crossed over with the Lord changed the way he provided for them. For 40 years they had had manna and quail coming down. That was provided every day for them. When they crossed over and they had this testimony of his deliverance, his salvation, his provision through the meal that they partook with the Lord, now the game has changed, the rules have changed, and manna stops. And they're living off the produce, they're living off the fruit of the land. An entire generation had only known manna. And in one day, the manna stopped. They had to learn how to do cooking and do things. It was just different. It was radically different for them. Sometimes it's hard to adjust to new normal. Even when we know that that change is God's perfect plan, saying yes to God's promise doesn't mean it's always going to feel good or it's going to taste the same or it's going to be the same, but you know God's good because he's leading us. And so, Calvary, I want to say in this day that as we journey with the Lord, we can't always count on him to do things the way he did yesterday, but we can count on him being good, being our deliverer, our savior, and our provider, and we can count on him. And he might do it in some new ways, and do that as we journey. And then the third transforming event that they had there is at the end of the chapter in verses 13 to 15. The Lord showed up to challenge and change their worldview. Let's read that together. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. It says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went up to him and said, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I've now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' And Joshua obeyed." It's interesting in this passage, you know, Joshua's now doing the third scouting trip. They had 40 years before, they'd have the 12 spies go into the land. And then a little bit before this, he had sent 2 spies into the land, especially to Jericho, and now he's gone himself. And the Lord showed up and challenged and changed his worldview. He looks at him and he says to this person, doesn't realize who he is, he says, "Are you here for me or for them? Are you on my side or their side?" And the Lord says, I'm not on anybody's side. How about you joining my side?" And in this hour, I have people telling me, you know, God's of this political party, or he's with this group, or if you don't do this. I want you to know every one of our systems is broken, and God's here, and he's saying, "I've got a better way." Amen? He works through our current systems, but they're broken, and we're not looking to our current systems to be our solution. We're actually looking to redeem current systems and structures so that they'll fulfill the purposes and promises that God has. So our allegiance is not to a party. Our allegiance is not to a certain view or stance. Our allegiance is to him, and then we take the stance with him, and we partner with him because he's in charge. And that was the thing. He just came and he shook up Joshua's worldview and changed and challenged it. So God's not out to join our plans, to join our side. Rather, he's here to take over, to take command, to work his plan and complete what he started. And so that's the testimony of Joshua there. So as we look ahead, as we look at the challenges that we face, I believe God is speaking to us and wants to issue a challenge today. We need to remember what the Lord has showed us about our future as a church and what he said about our promised land. Listen again to Joshua chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. "Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben and Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, crossed over, armed in front of the Israelites, just as Moses directed." So the Lord has spoken in the past, and they're fulfilling, they're carrying out the prophetic word, the word of the Lord given through his servant Moses. Joshua leads them to do that. Now turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29. We need to remember that the Lord has showed us about our future and what he has said about our promised land. That's why we're looking at these scriptures. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. And you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you'll find me when you search me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I'll bring you back from captivity. I'll gather you all from the nations and places where I banished you, declares the Lord. And I'll bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So Moses had spoken. They recorded it. Joshua obeyed it. God speaks and they carried it out. And then here, God says, I have plans for you, plans for welfare, plans for your good. And then in Haggai chapter 2, if you're in Matthew, you need to go back to the left. If you're in Genesis, you want to go to the right till you get to the prophetic books. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I'll once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I'll shake all the nations, and the desired of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I'll grant shalom, declares the Lord Almighty. Those are some passages to say God has words for us and has declared things over us. And I believe he wants us to be aware of that and agree with him in that. I need several guys to come up here, and I'd like for everybody to get one of these handouts. So I need about five guys quickly to come up and make sure everybody gets one of these handouts, if you don't mind. So y'all can spread those out among yourselves. Everybody needs a handout. These are the prophetic words that we've captured and recorded for Calvary through the years. We want to consider what the Lord says about our future from these prophetic words. About harvest, in gathering, and touching the generations. So we're not going to look at all the prophetic words on this sheet, but we're going to look at some of the prophetic words that especially deal about harvest, in gathering, and touching the generations. What we want to do is, I just want to make you aware that the Lord has spoken words over us, and we've taken them seriously, and we've recorded them. And we've captured them for the sake of prayer and for the sake of pressing in and saying, Lord, do this in our lives. Do this in us. That's what we've said to the Lord. And I want to just highlight a few of the words here that talk about harvest, in gathering, and touching the generations. The Lord has a call on us. Number two, Calvary is of a different spirit like Joshua and Caleb. Don't let anyone or anything, the devil, a disgruntled person, or our own failure, talk us out of our destiny. And so God has prophetic words and things for us, prophetic destiny, and he says, don't get robbed of that. Number three, all of our prayers and prophecies will be fulfilled. We will be a prototype of what the church will be in the future. We'll have a training center and we'll send out ministry teams. Again, we take seriously what the Lord is saying, and I'm giving you this today to ask you to pray into these words that God has given, especially about harvest, in gathering, and touching the generations. Number four, it talks about God's going to build Calvary with new stones and with burnt stones. Burnt stones are people that have been burned out on religion. They've had experiences in the church where they got wounded and damaged, and they stepped away and stepped out of the journey. And new stones are people that have gotten on board with the Lord and have been touched and saved and transformed. And it says, part A there, start believing God to fill this building and build this house and receive all who will come. God is going to bring a variety of people. And then point D under four, this kibbutz or this ministry, this community will welcome future generations. God has a transgenerational call in our lives as a congregation. This kibbutz, this community is supposed to be a place of interaction and family. Number six, harvest is coming. We'll need more room. We'll need more than one service. Actually says, bring every empty chair and put a soul in there by faith, and we'll be amazed at how quickly people mature. So When I come in on for services, I actually go around and before everybody gets here and I pray that God will touch and move and prepare every seat and fill every seat. And we want that to be across the auditorium, what God wants to do. Number eight, God wants to do a supernatural in-gathering here. And then you jump on the back of the sheet, number 18, God told us to prepare to reap and conserve a harvest. Calvary, those are just a few of the prophetic words, and I'm going to ask you to pray into that with me because I believe God wants our lives interacting with people and engaging people, inviting people and testifying to people in such a way that they would be encountered and they would want to be a part of what we're doing here. There are three things that people are looking for in our culture, and I believe that we offer ways to meet these needs. People are looking for encounter, and God has ordained this place to be a place of experience with Him, like we had this morning in worship. People are looking for transformation. People are looking for transformation, and this is a place where lives are changed. People are looking for belonging. They're looking for meaningful relationships, and this is a place of connection, of meaningful relationships. And what our culture needs is who we are as a congregation. We're here to help people connect with the Lord through intimacy, awareness, and reflection, and spiritual formation. We're here to help people grow into a true Christian community through authentic relationships that are open and honest, transparent, caring for, and being cared for. The world is hungry for real connection, not just shallow connection. And helping people extend the kingdom of God to experience His wholeness, His well-being, His flourishing. People need a vision of what the Lord is doing. They need encouragement to partner with Him, to get into action, to be invited into radical obedience that makes a difference in their lives and others, to learn skills and to learn practices, to join Him on His mission. So Calvary, as we come to the close of this message, I want to invite you to do two things. I want you to join me in what I'm currently praying for Calvary. I want to ask you, and it's a way to pray into these prophetic words, to say yes to what God wants to do as we're crossing over, as we're the Joshua generation now, as we're stepping out and going into what the Lord has. I want to ask you to pray two passages of Scripture with me. Number one, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Paul says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound, or your love may flourish more and more in all knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Several years ago, Pastor Steve gave us a prayer, and right now I'm praying into this, and I want to ask you that God would help Calvary to be flourishing, faithful and fruitful until the day of Christ Jesus, that our love would abound, that the life of God would flourish here, that we would be faithful. This passage says that we'd be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, that we would be faithful in our character and our nature changed, and that we would be fruitful. We're supposed to bear fruit of righteousness, that we would be a people who represent this kingdom in our actions, in our words, our attitudes, in our lives. Calvary, join us in praying in this hour. Let's press in and let's ask God to cause us to be flourishing, faithful, and fruitful in this journey. And then number two, Micah chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. Micah chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. Listen to this passage. "I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I'll bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. This place will throng with people. One who breaks open the way will go up before them. They'll break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head." I believe that the breaker anointing of the Lord Jesus in verse 13 here, where the Lord breaks in, He breaks through and He breaks out before us, is to lead us into His purposes in our spheres of influence. And as we join Him and partner with Him out there and in here, verse 12 says, this place will throng with people. Calvary, the Bible teaches us, Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He'll send out laborers into this harvest field. Calvary. Let's pray for throngs of people, for throngs of laborers. Let's ask the Lord to raise them up, because what we're called to do is bigger than our current size in terms of extending the kingdom locally and globally. We're not here to grow for ourselves. I believe that God wants to increase our base because he wants to increase our capacity and resources to do what he's called us to do. Calvary, let's pray and ask God that we would be flourishing, faithful, and fruitful until the day of Christ. And let's pray and ask the Lord to cause this place, as he breaks out among us here and out there, that we will throng with people. I believe the kingdom of God is supposed to pulsate with a new harvest here in Houston. We want that for our church and for other churches. Amen? So I wanted to give you those things and say, I believe that the Lord has spoken to us about our future. And I don't think we're supposed to be passive about it. I think we're supposed to pray into it. I'm giving you two passages that I'm praying to get in on it. And we want to say, we want to have a heart that says yes to what he wants to do. We want to look at what he said and we want to cooperate with it. And then we want to intentionally partner with him both inside the walls and outside the walls. And I want to invite you, this is an exciting time in history to be alive. The best for the body of Christ here at Calvary, for Houston, and for our nation is not behind us. It's ahead of us. And God's wanting to raise our eyes to that awareness. Would you please stand? Father, we thank you for who you've called us to be. We thank you for Lord, these prophetic words you've given us, they're like what the spies did. They went into the land and they brought back some first fruits. What you've said about who Calvary's supposed to be, it's like the first fruits that were brought back. We've not been into the promised land, but we got the report back of what it's like. Lord, these prophetic words, give us a picture of what you're wanting to do at Calvary, what you're wanting to do in Houston and through our lives. And Lord, we receive that testimony as first fruits of what you want to do. And we don't want an evil heart of unbelief like the original 10 spies did. Lord, we want to be of the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. We want to be like those two spies that went in Joshua's day. And we want to say, look at what the Lord has done for us already. Look at what the Lord has prepared for us already. Lord, I've not been a part of transforming revival. I've seen you move. I've seen you do incredible things. But like Psalm 44 says, Lord, I've seen and I've heard with my ears what you've done in the past, but I say in our day, renew them, O God. Lord, we need a new move of God here. We need a new move of God. Lord, this younger generation, they need experiences with you like we've had as we've journeyed with you as a church. God, we need you. And Lord, you've given us these prophetic promises. And they say, I've spied out the land and what I'm doing is good and worth it. And we say yes and amen. So Lord, I ask you to cause us to flourish as a community. Lord, I ask you to cause us to flourish in every way with true spiritual riches, with financial riches. I pray you'll cause us to flourish with signs and wonders. I pray we'll be faithful, that we'll have our lives circumcised, that we'll have the old cut off, and we would be faithful, blameless in you. And I pray, oh God, that we'll bear the fruit of righteousness of Jesus. I pray that the beauty of Jesus will be seen through our lives. I pray that the excellence of Christ will be made known through our words and our works. And Lord Jesus, we declare you have the breaker anointing. We ask you to break through in this hour. Would you break through the joblessness in our community? Would you break through the economic barriers in our community? And would you bring full employment to our people in Jesus' name? Lord, we ask you to break through our dullness, to break through our hesitancy to partner with you. Lord, it says you're going to break out and go before us. Lord, we're sorry, and we want to join you. We don't want to just stay on this side. We want to join you in our spheres of influence. And we pray for throngs of people to taste and see that you're good. We pray for throngs of people in Houston, Texas, to come into the churches in Houston. We pray that people will be touched, saved, delivered, and they'll experience discipleship in the churches. I pray that for this church. I pray that for the churches here. I ask for that in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, our ministry time this morning is to appeal to you and ask you for what you said you want to do. Would you do it, Almighty God, in Jesus' name? Thank you again for your prophetic words. They give us glimpses into where you're leading. But thank you, Lord, that you're leading us to cross obstacles and barriers, insurmountable walls, things that we would say, it's too hard, it's too difficult, there's no way it's going to happen in our time. Thank you that you're the God that does immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine. And we ask you to do that in this season, in Jesus' name. So the Lord says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So keep praying for physical strength. Keep praying for heart strength. When fear, when discouragement come at your door about you or about us or about anything, let's be a people who stand against that. Amen? And we're going to do it together. We're going to need each other. We're going to hold on to each other to do that. Amen? Okay, the ministry time, that was it.